This episode of the Meme Factory podcast is sponsored by Simply Bitcoin. This is a Bitcoin-only daily show. Check them out at youtube.com/simplybitcoin. And we are sponsored by CryptoCloaks. CryptoCloaks strives for quality products and innovative solutions for your Bitcoin signing devices and Bitcoin nodes. Check out the Yellow Edition MK4 cold card case at CryptoCloaks.com. Enjoy the show.
Spider Pig.
Yeah.
Like across the Spider-Verse and into the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Pigs? Isn't that a monkey?
A spider pig?
Never mind. I don't know. I'm stupid. A spider monkey.
Figure out how to get Zoom to operate through my Bluetooth, that would be great.
We can hear you.
Yeah, there's that accent.
Shit show over here.
For everybody's watching this evening, hang on just a minute. We are remedying some technical difficulties.
Nothing new.
The stream to you. Nothing new.
No.
So, do you guys know how I can go into my audio settings for fucking shitty Zoom?
Yeah, if you, the microphone there, at the bottom left, just a little arrow pointing up. If you click on that, it'll give you your audio options that you can choose from.
Unmute. Okay, getting there. Yeah. Press on the little arrow.
Upgrade your grinder.
Yeah.
Have you guys been enjoying watching this crap coming at Davos?
Okay, let's see here.
Chat
participant, share screen. Looking for my on the microphone. I'm muted and unmuted. It's not giving me audio options. Here we go. Let's see. LG 830.
There you go.
Okay. Can I get a test from somebody so I can get some audio test here?
What, like test, a test tickle or so? Can you hear us, Mr. Tarantula, sir? If you're talking, we can't hear you one bit.
No.
Well, that was great. I could fucking hear, and then like now I can't hear anything at all.
Well, we can hear you.
Yeah.
This is yes, like backwards can. Progress.
Hey. Two step forward, three step back, whatever.
That's how gang. We roll.
More credible saying beard gang.
Are you running Zoom or on a Cisco binder? What are you doing?
Yeah, did you update Grindr before you came on? I'm going to take that as a no. He's running an old version.
Yep.
So, Sean, why are you looking so businessy today?
Can you guys hear me at all?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got my Bitcoin, but I can't fucking figure out Zoom.
Yeah, buddy.
You know what it does. If you've been putting on tens of thousands of exahash, you better figure out how to work Zoom.
Ding, brought to you by Meme Factory. Ding, another fucking great test stream. Ding, where everything is coordinated. Ding, thank God the having party is given to other people to organize.
Are we blaming Greg on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. What it for?
Yeah, it's good. And rope.
And rope.
Yeah. Because rope's not here.
Where is rope? He said
that's why.
He got the green light for April. Is that what he said? I don't know who April is. But
I think he just got another like plus of money. He's like,
his parole officer is letting him leave?
Rope, Robe.
Robe.
He was wearing a robe in the last episode.
Was he? I didn't even notice.
Because he was like in a dark room, you know?
Yeah. Oh, this has got to be one of our finest podcasts to date, Mr. Tarantula.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hi there, guys. I'm Huddle Tarantula.
So, Huddle T.
Yo, it's fucking loud as fuck out here. I can't hear you guys very well.
Oh, okay. Can you hear us at all?
Damn it. That's not good.
Can you hear us at all?
Not very well. I think I'm going to go. I was at this fucking shithole coffee shop over here because I wasn't having any good service for internet. And they got horrible, shitty music playing all fucking loud. So I think I'm going to go, like, sit in the car real quick. Way I can fucking hear you guys.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on a
the
second.
The dangers of off-grid mining, my friends.
Let me do
when
that
you go right to come there. On the pod, you may have spotty signal.
We're going to do it in the car. That's fun.
Bitcoin
if
podcast.
If you're spotting, it might be time to go to the store and pick up a few.
Okay, that's how you ended up how you are right now.
Bitcoin podcast is the best thing to do in your car.
The second best thing to do in your car.
What's the first thing to do in your car?
Stacks ass, of course.
Yeah, shit, man. You guys are lucky I was able to pull out this laptop because I run Graphene OS on my cellular device and I can't actually operate Zoom. A Zoom fucking meeting will crash my operating system every single time.
Nice. Yeah, that's your problem there.
We need to move over to Keep.
Like they don't like my shit like that.
You're basically running Noster of the horses.
Exactly.
Yeah. Win key, Greg.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's one.
Yes. Okay, Labra.
It'll be up and running at the point at which we've decided that it is going to be up and running.
So what's new in the news today, guys?
I've been enjoying the Davos stuff.
The Davos stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mile?
Did you listen to his speech?
I didn't. I caught the cliff notes, but I figured it was bullshit, you know? Just trotting out your one capitalist guy at the socialist forum. Just be like, we believe in this, see?
Yeah. No?
We got to come together and all as an individual and a community.
No, he was just like saying that capitalism takes people out of poverty and socialists are fucking retards pretty much. And yeah, you know, the typical Mealy stuff.
Hey, you're living it daily. You get to know. You know what's
happening. Oh, I know. Yep. Yeah. They want to ban. Oh.
There's Huddle T.
Yay.
Yes. Hey, buddy.
Look at that beard. Look at that beard.
All right. Man. Can we hear you? Can you hear us?
I can hear you better now. I was outside this fucking cafe and I started out inside. I thought I was going to be able to get this Bluetooth to function, but it's just as fiat as the rest of the fucking world. So that means it don't work.
Nope.
So, you know, basically that's where we are. So we're going to get in the car to do this.
I appreciate you making it out here. So officially welcome everybody. Welcome in. You all made it to another episode of the Meme Factory podcast. This is test stream number 113. Congratulations.
Yay.
All right. So this evening we are going to skip out on the ad copy and move right on over to getting you fed, if that's possible.
Okay, I guess.
Like I'm making sandwiches?
Yeah, I'm making some sandwiches. Well, I can't remember. Okay.
There you go.
Can we see? Can you see? Can you hear? Okay. Spidey, I got some sandwiches for you. I got three specials. The first one is the Davos special. So it's Z-Bugs done three ways. So we have some pan-fried ants that are covered in gold flakes. We have cricket meal that's wrapped in snake skin. And then we have spider legs topped with these nuts. Then our second special is NIMS over DINKS. So NIMS stands for No Income Mining Sats. And this is a prime rib sandwich. It's grilled on an S9 and it's topped with spicy hash. And this one improves your health so that you can live a long, happy, and fulfilled life. And our last one is our steak, our yellows. Don't Stop Believing Steak Sammy, which has been marinated in Red Bull for 801 days. So these are the sandwiches I've prepared for you today.
Pretty, pretty important. Yeah. Nice.
And which one is tickling your fancy?
Yeah. The Red Bull marination for 801 days. Are you kidding me? How could you not try that?
Beautiful. What a good choice. Yellow is super happy about that.
Nice. Coming right up. Yep. It's pretty important. It's a pretty important taste.
Yeah, yes. As long as it don't have any parts of yellow in it, that's good, you know.
Well,
it's not guaranteed.
All right. So Hoddle Tarantula. How do you prefer to be called? Hoddle? Tarantula? Hoddle Tarantula?
HT.
HT. All right, HT.
Oh, HT now. It used to be Hoddle T. Now it's HT.
Nah, you made that up. Somebody else
made that up. No, I did not make that up.
All right, HT. So for anybody watching tonight who doesn't know who you are, please explain what you do with Bitcoin and why people might know who you are on Twitter.
I do the stuff that other people don't want to do or aren't willing to. Like when it comes to utilizing energy that's stranded and not readily available for production, I make Bitcoin hard. Mine Bitcoin off grid. So, and I like to teach people about what I do through the social media account that I operate online, which is Hoddle Tarantula. That's on Twitter. But like my man Pedro said the other day, just a bunch of dudes, you know, I'm just some dude out there mining Bitcoin. That's what I do. So
now you say you just are some dude out there mining Bitcoin, but you are one of the most idiosyncratic accounts I've ever seen on Twitter, especially in any regard, with regards to Bitcoin, with regards to Twitter, with regards to mining. You're always doing something regarded.
Sorry, I'm highly regarded, just FYI.
So I want to get an idea of why you are out there doing off-grid mining. And just so anybody who doesn't understand what we're talking about mining Bitcoin in a place where you're not connected to the national or local energy grid. You're finding sources of energy that are relatively untapped, right?
Yep. Yeah. So one of the reasons why I do what I do is like, I believe in what Bitcoin is. First of all, I would not ever, understanding my time and how valuable it is as a resource, I would never waste it on trying to build something that I don't believe in or that I don't feel like is worthwhile in regards to my time. And I feel like Bitcoin is that. I decided to mine Bitcoin off grid almost better half of a decade ago, and had issues where people were telling me that, you know, geopolitically you'll have this problem or that problem. So now I'm on sovereign land. And before that, they were telling me that resonant harmonics frequencies and identification methods will have you, you know, shut down on grid if people decide they want to find you and stop you from doing that there. And so I decided that that can't happen either. And so I decided to chase off grid. There were some benefits that I found to that in regards to kind of battle hardening and bulletproofing Bitcoin a little bit further. We make it stronger and harder by going off grid with it and decentralizing our sources of power. I think it's very supportive of my values and beliefs in how I live my life. Bitcoin has a lot of facets to it that fall into these systems and alignments and value. And so I just thought, this is something that is important to me and that I want to build, and I want to be able to prevent other people from being able to stop it. And so, I mean, yeah, we have no decentralization over like 17,500 across 156 countries, but, you know, that's one aspect of our network. We need to find ways to improve and strengthen all aspects of the network. And I thought that, you know, Bitcoin mining off grid is an excellent way to do that. So I figured if I can do that successfully, I just continue to do that.
So that's a lot to unpack.
Wow. God damn it.
I mean, was great. I took a note here on the resonant frequency thing, and I want to touch on that later. But I want to unpack this whole journey first. So
yeah, they can identify where you are on grid and what you're doing with that. So it's important to be off grid.
When you say resonant frequency, is somebody out there smacking a tuning fork and saying, "Oh, there's Bitcoin mining going on over there"?
Well, they took the harmonic frequencies created by the power supply units and measured them against the grid and how it, you know, its particular frequency, and they've been able to identify Bitcoin mining equipment on the grid now through these mechanisms of measurement. And so,
wow.
Yeah, it's in China. They can find, that's one of the ways they were finding and shutting down operations, by seeing these different measurements on their grid, and they're able to go to those locations and verify that there was illegal Bitcoin mining operations taking place. So that's like another reason why off-grid mining is super important.
Well, to explain to our listeners, anybody who doesn't, who might be newer to the space, isn't going to be privy to the fact that China outlawed Bitcoin mining. What, 2020, 2021?
Yeah, 2020, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, you're saying part of the way that they actually track down these people is this tuning fork method.
Kind of something similar like that, yeah. I'm not a frequency engineer, so.
All right, so you are a new miner to the scene. You're watching what's happening in China, and you want that not to be able to happen to you. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, I've been not wanting that to happen to me for such a long time. I started in 2018 seeking off-grid sources for mining. And that's when I got hooked up with abandoned wells. And then while I was doing that, I wanted other alternative energy sources. I could mine Bitcoin on wood through gasification reactor units and set, you know, different methods of
energy. Abandoned wells produce like gas that you can capture. That's what you meant.
What?
Huh? Abandoned wells.
Abandoned wells
have gas, and you can capture it. That's what.
Yeah, when they degrade, right?
Yeah. So the production may not be worthwhile for them to take off-site. Although the well might still produce slightly. You can still monetize that. There's no reason to just abandon it, but a lot of places they'll do that. They'll decide that maybe they want to even plug the well. That does result sometimes in fugitive emissions, which is a methane that actually leaks from over time failing infrastructure. And so this process helps to alleviate that pressure and mitigate those fugitive emissions in a controlled manner.
Now you sound like a politician.
Those are fighting words, sir. We're fighting.
All right. Are you talking about abandoned wells? I'm guessing that's like a natural gas or an oil well you're talking about.
Yeah.
Why would somebody abandon a well?
Maybe the flow rate drops down below what is profitable for them to try and bring it to the market.
Okay, and then what's the process? You show up at this abandoned well, and then how do you start a mining operation?
He has a white Toyota. That's the process. Just showed up, like.
No, just show up.
If it's shut down and the equipment is not working, like, where do you go from that? Do you actually restore the equipment to?
Yeah, we refurbish the switch. Sometimes we'll stimulate the well if it is required to meet certain types of production.
Bow, chicken, bow, level. Bow.
Wow, chicken.
You okay? Well, it's more of a
stimulate the well,
nitro, glycerin, nitro typo.
make it wet again.
Yeah, make it wet again.
Yeah. We definitely get it going into production. We can say that much.
All right, so
HT knows how to get the juices pumping. That's what he's trying to say.
Now,
flowing.
What was your first introduction to off-grid mining? Where did you start?
In the Appalachian Hills, down in Southern Kentucky, North Tennessee, in the mountains, in the hollows.
Oh, geez.
I literally had to build my own roads to these well sites because they had. Nobody had been out there in decades.
Did you use your own funds to build these roads, or did somebody?
I did.
Wow.
I did. You know, for all those fucking government supporters out there who say my roads. Well, homie, I'm here to tell you, I build roads. No, sans government, homie. Sans government.
How'd you build roads? I don't know. Greg, he's starting to sound even more like a politician. He's building roads.
This guy. Oddly enough, it facilitates, you know, commerce activity for myself, and it's beneficial, you know, to me. And so, yeah, I put my own roads in.
Very cool. All right, so you build your own road to the. Somebody tells you about this abandoned well, saying you say, you know what, I can tap that. I can tap that abandoned well after I stimulate it, and then you're going to make a road to get there. So I'm picturing you hitting in a bulldozer and then just plowing down everything in the way on the way to this well, and then setting up with like what, a shipping container full of miners.
Well, sometimes you can't get a shipping container to some of the locations where I was initially. They were too remote, and the terrain was too much inhospitable to actually get a container out there. So you need to use something lighter. My first off-grid Bitcoin mining operation was built out of a damn chicken coop, pretty much. It was awesome. Just a wooden box with a 6-foot aggro fan on the back. And it was so far out there that it's like, if you could get out there and get that shit, you've earned it. You can have it. It is not easy to build in some of these places where I first started. And so I had Amish people with mules help me wheel a wooden shed out into the middle of nowhere. Yeah, just try to drag a generator out there with a truck somehow, and get it going.
Do you have to do any kind of refining on site, or is it just the natural gas you're going after?
No, so a lot of the sites that I run had what's called sweet gas in the beginning, so it was very dry and lean, and it wasn't like wet, rich gas that would require a lot of processing or anything like that. Now, out in the reservation on the Bakken Reserve, some of that gas is a little more rich and requires some different generator setups, but for the most part I can usually pipe right into the generator pretty clean.
Okay. Now, is there some sort of plan? Are you going after some sort of footprint or some sort of organizational build in the future, or are you just playing whack-a-mole with these sites as they come up?
So working right now with a couple engineers and have research and development a container that's all in its entire unit in one, and it's very compact. It could potentially fit over a couple megawatts inside of 20 to 40 feet, anywhere from 200 to 400 square feet, and then just drop it on site in a completely mobile fashion where there's not necessarily any requirement for a third party contractors like electricians or anything like that to get you going. Right now we're experiencing a serious issue in our industry with infrastructure availability. There are plenty of ASICs out there and plenty of Bitcoin miners who want to plug them in, but there are not enough plugs. And so one of the things that we're running into problem-wise here is getting the actual infrastructure built.
Sounds like my timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's like you and your song. You're going to be forever singing it because you're never going to reach that number you went to in order to be able to stop singing Don't Stop Believing. Oh, that was sad. I'm sorry.
I'm used to it. It's okay.
But so in regards to infrastructure being one of the main Achilles heels in how fast this industry can expand, the people that I've been working with, we feel it's important to be able to provide turnkey solutions, not just a box that you can throw ASICs into, but a box that already has all the power connections and everything done in it, and everything is just ready to go and finished, instead of having something show up on site that now requires a third party contractor or somebody else to provide you with services in order for you to be able to continue the mission. And what I'm trying and what we're trying to put together is a system, a build system that is like enables sovereignty in the field of deployment as well now, because you're not going to be sitting there waiting on a contractor to come and do your connections or terminations. You get this box from you can just pipe your gas into it and walk away from it and turn it on. So hopefully we could get that moving pretty quickly, and that will help to get some more people moving faster, hashing quicker.
And that's your end goal, to make this box that makes infrastructure easier for people who want to do off-grid mining?
And it's just a temporary, you know, short-term type of project that's working on with some of my team members out here in North Dakota. Another project that I recently started is right now we have a serious kind of bottleneck in the mining industry with pools, and that's a problem. We have like five major pools out there controlling around 80 to 90% of the hash rate. That's very it makes me uneasy, to be honest. And I don't trust that there aren't a couple of these pools like actually, you know, working together behind the scenes, or kind of own, you know, one owns the other. I would suspect there's a situation like that, and this prevents the actual true decentralization of mining at the pool level, and you have the potential for, you know, individuals to try and control the hash rate or to try and be bought out at a large corporate level. And if we can work towards decentralizing the pools even further and breaking them down, then it actually would, you know, help us with getting further the mission of what Bitcoin is really about, which is, you know, being sovereign hard money. And if your pool is your Achilles heel, then you're not, you know, you're walking away from that goal. You're walking more backwards. And so I'm trying to work with some people right now to figure out how we can put together a pool that is tech, not something that you have to be super technically savvy to do, that we can maybe figure out a way that we could streamline the process of launching it and hopefully give other people the, you know, opportunity and options to either set up and run their own pool and mine themselves. You do have to run a pool node, if you're going to do that. So it would require, you know, quite a bit of upfront data usage. But depending on the amount of people you're trying to operate with, or if you're just operating yourself, your bandwidth sizes aren't necessarily going to be a problem right away for you. And so I'm kind of working on some things right now to help maybe try and set up a couple of different options for people to move forward in the effort to decentralize the pooling aspect of Bitcoin mining as well, because right now there's a few people out there that are working on some things to help with launching new pools and stuff, but there's nothing out there that's very clear about how to set up a pool, how you would go about launching one or anything like that. You know, it's still kind of like technically gatekept if you don't know how to go about reading and introducing these things to yourself and approaching it from a technical standpoint. It's not really easy. And I have a friend who's a senior server developer and a network engineer, and I asked him just to take a look at something from the Stratum V2 site and branch it, and if he could, you know, help me build a repo for it on a RAID server so that we can maybe like clone and like kind of set up a pool. And he was getting stuck on things, and he's a very technical person compared to myself. And so I think one of the things that over the next few years, like year or two, I'm going to try to do is another side project is hopefully we can develop a launch guide for, you know, self-operated pools as well.
Very cool. You're taking a we had Bob Burnett on here recently. He's working with Ocean. They're taking
a different
time.
I know Bob.
Yeah, imagine you do. What do you think about their solutions where they've got different they allow you to use different templates for the block creation? Does that help at all?
I think it's, huh?
Does that help with the
What are you
decentralization?
gonna say?
Does it help with the
Oh,
decentralization at all or no?
it gives options to the miner as an operator. So their pool, if they're going to provide the templates, once we get the ability to run the template ourselves, now we have the choice to build the block. Now the thing is if we put things in our template that doesn't, align with the consensus rules of their pool, the template could be rejected. And then your submission of block is null and void. It's not, it won't get mined in by the pool. It won't be accepted by the pool node. So as long as they're providing templates that give people the options to do what they want, I think that's good. I look at a pool like a business, pretty much. And a business has the right to refuse service to any clients that they choose to or see fit. They don't have to provide everybody with their services. Ocean Mining is a mining pool that choose to offer services to mine UTXOs that have cap limits on op returns. They don't want to mine, any UTXOs that have certain data size that goes surpasses these data restrictions that they're trying to implement. Basically, in doing so, they can effectively, do what they feel like is best for the network and filter out their what they call spam, right? So that gives options to people that want to, not participate in things on the network like that. It's to me, it's just it's a business. Their model is not mining spam. And so if they can operate in a way that main gives them the ability to keep the lights on and pay the bills, well, that's good for them. They're using Bitcoin in the way that they want to. They're not forcing anybody to not be able to participate in this stupid shitcoin jpeggery. And they, at the same time, like I said, they're
Bigger.
using Bitcoin as it's intended, as in that they're doing what they want with it, and nobody can tell them not to. It's basically like go fuck yourself, but with how they want to mine their Bitcoin or mine their pool. And so all the, any pool that comes out and is going to run SHA-256 and mine mainnet, I think that's great, because it offers options to, again, our limited amount of pools that are out there now. More options is better at this point, I feel like. And so again, I don't get upset about what they're doing. I think that what they're doing is just another testament to how Bitcoin can, people can pick it up and use it and interact with it on the network. And if you don't like it, well, you know what? Cry harder. This is what it's about. You go build something that competes with it, that's better, and that will, make it obsolete if you don't like whatever it is that people are putting together, Like it forces people to become a participant, and if they don't like something to an extent, otherwise they could just go cry about it in the corner. And there's a lot of that going on right now, a lot of crying in the corners. But I mean, I just see these people JPEGing each other, and it's to me, it's like, all right, well, if this is what you want to do, I'm not gonna stop you. Who am I to stop you? But I mean, I can also, work with other businesses out there that choose not to, endorse JPEGing each other, And so it's like, if that's how I want to do that, then it's cool. But and I want to say that, like, them offering the templates is something that other mining pools haven't done yet. And so that's kind of a new thing. I mean, you're getting some transparency there. What I think would be cool is if they offered options to their templates. In the spirit of the free market, give people the ability to mine shitcoin jpeggery if they want to. If they don't want to, they can use your other template. But I feel like the pool operator, like the pool operation itself, should, work in regards in alignment with this the network consensus rules and Bitcoin Core. So Bitcoin Core already has, you know, discrimination in regards to UTXO set acceptance on the mainnet and everything else like that. So if, you know, one, for whatever reason, the entire network decides that JPEGing each other isn't cool no more, and that they're going to actually write something into the core code that stops this from actually being able to happen, then I guess my pool node, if it's, you know, going to operate in line with consensus of the mainnet, then it won't mind, you know, that bullshit no more. But if it, you know, doesn't happen and those UTXOs are still accepted by core mainnet operating nodes and being verified in blocks, then I will operate my pool node in, you know, alignment with how core nodes verifying blocks are, you know, operating. I'm not gonna, you know, try to virtue signal or stop this guy from sending that or this or the other.
Doesn't it come down to basically the question of what's censorship and what is free market, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's a very good way to put it, because quite literally, nobody's stopping anybody from sending one of these UTXOs. They're, right, as a business, just choosing not to interact with that particular UTXO. Mm-hmm. And so there is no censorship there. It's just literally like saying, Becca makes sandwiches, but she won't ever sell sandwiches to purple people eaters. And so she's not censoring purple people eaters. She's just not feeding them asshole sandwiches. They can still go eat sandwiches anywhere else. They're not being censored. And so,
exactly,
like these people that are JPEGing each other, you know, they're not being censored. Nobody's stopping them from pegging each other. It's just, you know, it is what it is. They're just so butthurt from the constant pegging that how they deal with it. It's the only thing I can think of.
Constant pegging. Constant.
Okay, we have a couple of questions from the chat.
Yes, awesome.
Brendan asks, do you rent the generators to lay them down on the well site for only so long, or are you able to invest in its website to draw gas for long term? And Clark asks, where is it? How do you handle internet connection in remote locations, Starlink or Blockstream satellite?
So Blockstream satellite is like tits on a bull. First off, we'll just start with that, because without an uplink, I can't do anything. I can't broadcast UTXO. I can't send data back to the network, which means that my node isn't actually doing anything as a node except for verifying the ledger for myself. It's not actually able to communicate with other nodes and broadcast back out to the network and do its job as a routing node and be a real participant in the network. So Blockstream is pointless in that regard. And Samson Mao and Adam Back, I'm talking to you guys. Until you provide an uplink for Blockstream satellite system, you got tits on a bull there, because I need a separate ISP connection or another way to broadcast to get my node to send a UTXO or to allow other nodes to verify off of mine. Without the uplink, that's not possible through Blockstream.
What if that bull identifies itself as a cow, you know?
It's a serious-sized steer. And then now I do run Viasat, Starlink, and a couple other ISPs, mobile cellular modem and others. So yeah, we have connections that are off grid. There's no fiber like connection where I'm at. And then the other question about the generation, the power generation. So I've done leasing of power generation before, and I'm at the mercy of the technicians for the company that's leasing that generation. And sometimes you don't always get the best, you know. This fiat fuckery that's occurring in the world nowadays is causing us to have a loss of competency in the labor force here, unfortunately. And so you get techs that they don't feel like there's any reason for them to invest themselves in their job, because they don't feel like what they're getting paid is worth a shit, and so they end up doing shit work and you get shit results. And so I've actually gotten better results with buying my own generators, and then having my own technicians who, you know, are paid in Bitcoin, and being paid in hard money gives them incentive, and so usually you get better results like that. It's easier to write off a generator and amortize it over time in regards to tax implications too. There are benefits to purchasing your generators over leasing them. You can lease them and tax write them off, and at least, but the thing is like I said, you're going to deal with technicians that they don't feel like they're skin in the game. They don't have real incentive to get out there and keep your equipment going at all costs at all times. So there's pros and cons.
In the box that you're planning to, the compact box you said for mining, is the generator going to be inside? Like, is it just for the miners, or is it like all like one plug and play thing?
It will have the generator inside of it. And then there will be a firewall partitioning it off from the mining equipment. It will all be set up. All the PDUs and everything will be completely wired and plugged and ready to go. There won't be anything that you have to do at all except for configure the ASICs onto the network once you actually get the generator fired up. So basically plug in the gas line, that's it. Configure the ASICs and walk away.
How does this differ from like an upstream data box?
Upstream data just delivers a box with PDUs. Well, Steve actually, from what I've seen, he might... I'm not sure if he has it out yet, but he has a box that they are putting a generator into. So it's very similar to what I'm talking about. Like the box that I'm working on designing is not air cooled. Most of Upstream Data's boxes are all air cooled. The box that I'm going to be working on is hydro, not immersion. Immersion is oil. This is going to be hydro, and it's going to utilize the exhaust off the generator to facilitate the cooling of the hydro. So it's going to be a carbon negative situation when we're done with it. And so there are key differences between what I think I'm pretty sure he's building based on what I've seen in his chat and like,
wait, back it up, like the exhaust from the generator, you're cooling them down, cooling it down with pumps, and then you cool them that down with the miners. Like, I'm confused.
The heat off of the exhaust from the generator will be taken, and we have a system that we're developing and putting into place that will take that heat, and it will actually be able to cool the miners.
Well, like a thermopile or something?
Hmm?
Like a thermopile or something?
Something.
Peltier chips?
It's, it's chips. There's a reactor and a vacuum, I can say that much.
A Dyson. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a giant
Dyson sphere.
Yeah,
that's it. We have those jobs. For those jobs, we have rope, basically. Yeah.
I want to back up to the independent mining pools real quick, mainly because whenever we
back
talk about mining
back
pools,
back it up, then Greg, back it up.
I'm backing it up.
Yeah, back it up, but right.
Anyway, Pedro always talks about when he's deciding on a mining pool, one of the most important things is reliable payouts. So for something like an independent mining pool or something that can be spun up, decentralized, that sounds like it's going to be, you know, a smaller percentage of the hash altogether. Yep. You're going to have problems attracting people. Do you have a solution for that in mind already? Or is it the fact that you think you're just going to, sink the costs up front, and then over time people will slowly move?
Not even concerned even a little bit about trying to coerce people to come to my pool or ask or subsidize people to come to my pool, or even act like there's a fucking hope and a prayer that they're going to get a single sat from my pool unless a block is legitimately hit. And if they don't understand why they're doing what they're doing and what they're actually building towards, well, I don't really care for them to be mining on my shit anyways. It's like this. I plan on running this server with 10 up, 10 down giga fiber connection, and making it available, and I'm going to be pointing my own hash rate that I can afford to run in the red without ever having to worry about paying for it. I'll point it there and it can mine forever. And I don't care if it ever hits anything ever. And it will always be there and be available to others who might have a nerd miner or a bit axe or anything like an old S9 or anything. They just want to take a chance and just throw it that way. I want it to be completely organic in growth. I don't want it to, you know, race up to 40 or 50% of hashing, and all of a sudden people are freaked out and then like it crashes, because that's happened to pools in the past. Actually, they got big fast and then it caused them to be, ended up being the demise of them.
Like which pools?
This was back, I think, in 2013 or
what
12.
Happened?
Well, I can't remember the exact name of the pool, but they ended up getting almost 49% of all the hash rate. And the miners involved with the pool saw this, and they upon themselves started exiting the pool. Like, there was a mass exodus from the pool, and it was all autonomous. Like, it happened by the individual miners themselves saw that this was happening, like knew that it was something bad could happen because of that, and they left. And the pool ended up, like, just slowly the hash rate ended up going to nothing. It gained too much popularity too quick, got too big, and it caused it to be its own demise. So I don't want that.
I don't see that happening today, though. If one of these larger pools and manages to capture 49% of the hash rate, I mean, do you think that the current mining groups are as altruistic as those folks were?
Well, no, in the older days, we had like even in the older days, I remember we even had like 51%. And we just like said, guys, move, just change mining pools. And we did.
In the before times.
In the before times.
Yeah, I don't see the same type of altruism. In fact, I see none. I feel like, honestly, there's probably... I feel like out of the five major mining pools out there, that probably one of them is owned by one of the other ones. Like, I really, truly think that there's probably collusion back there. I don't trust any of them at all, under any circumstances. No bueno. It's imperative that we move the hash rate. And the reasoning for that is... not only because of, I don't foresee a 51% attack occurring, because there's nobody out there that like is going to be able to command that amount of hash rate indefinitely to keep up with the chain, to keep it going. So that's not something that concerns me. But what concerns me is legislation at a pool level. That's the Achilles heel. I personally mine Bitcoin on sovereign land, and so don't concern myself with regulation and bullshit ass. You know, I call it FUD because of the nature.
When you say sovereign, then you're talking about like First Nation reservations.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, mitigating geopolitical issues has, you know, made it to where I'm not fun to having conversations with a lot of people. Like, what do you think about so and so said mining is this and that? And I said, I think so and so can go themselves, because I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, and if they want me to stop, I've already said it, and I'll say it again, they're going to have to put a bullet right in my brain, because there's no way I'm ever going to stop mining Bitcoin. Ever. Ever. It's just not something I'm ever going to stop doing. I literally have to be physically disabled, incapacitated. That's it. Even then, I'm going Stephen Hawking on it, and I'm going to get me a little strut. I tell people how to do it. Building legions.
Steven Hawking, no miners.
Back the hose to the outflow box.
All right. Blink twice to plug in the ASIC. I have people doing it for me.
A bunch of midgets.
Like, yeah.
Are your services for hire? If somebody wanted you to come out and hook them up with a mining operation, if they had eyes on a well. Or where would people find you? How do they get in contact with you? What kind of services do you offer here? Full server?
Oh, whoa,
whoa!
Speak for yourself. I got So, deployment management audit services, like, so
Fuck's that mean?
basically, tell somebody what, look at their resources, help them figure out what's going to be the best for them in regards to what their resource is and what they have available to them. I've built operations for people and then teach them how to run them and then hand them over to them, or I'll even manage them for them long term. So, I mean, it's basically my preference is to teach people how to build and run their own operations instead of me just build it for them and then run it for them. I mean, I could do that and I'll take a percentage of your hash rate in return for doing that, but I'm not. I'd rather teach a man to fish. Let's put it that way, you know?
Okay. But you're available
So,
to teaching.
yeah. I mean, if you're serious, because I mean, I'm not cheap. So you best
Define
be damn serious.
serious. How much has somebody got to bring online for you to for them to catch your attention?
$200 an hour?
200 an hour? How
No, a
long?
few hundred an hour. So like three.
Three. All right. All right. Now we're talking. So 300 an hour. You'll teach them how to set up their own mining operations on abandoned wells. All right.
And run it and do everything to where I don't ever have to come back and talk to them ever again.
You are a hell of a salesman, sir.
Well, I mean, if you're doing Bitcoin right and I'm doing you right, you shouldn't need me when we're done.
Euphemisms here, fantastic. So we're coming towards the end of the show,
This
and
is why guys like Swan and other fucking companies don't want to hire guys like me. They're like, he can't generate repeat business. He makes these motherfuckers sovereign.
here we go.
Yeah,
All right, so want to make give you the opportunity while you've got us here. Do you have any questions for the Meme Factory folks?
when can I buy shares of the Becca Sandwich Shop Corporation? She didn't tell
Oh,
you? She didn't tell you guys about that yet? Oh
you can
shit,
tell
did
us
I
shit.
just?
It's
Oh
under
man.
wraps. It's
Uh-oh.
till after the next halving.
My bad.
Yeah,
Okay, never mind. No
yeah,
questions.
yeah, yeah.
She's making a baby now.
Yeah,
At the Saturdays, the Canadian Saturday.
I'm having my DNA right now.
Right on. I
Cool. Yeah.
gotta
We're
say,
doubling it.
the whole entirety of 2023 into 2024 and having coming up is quite exciting. But my question for you guys is, how many miners do you think are gonna be solvent after the halving?
Ooh, half of them.
That was a good answer.
That's what happened last time, wasn't it? Didn't half of them just like disappear?
About that. Yeah. The
It's
halvening is also the halvening for my
exactly.
competition.
But didn't China ban mining like right after the last halving too?
No, that
Or
was
was it
21.
before? Oh,
That was
okay. Peaking,
2021.
so it's like a year after.
Which
Oh, yeah.
time? Which time?
Yeah, right.
This the last one.
The real one.
Yeah.
But they're really, really going to do it again next time.
Yes.
They're going to show you what a real ban looks like because this time it'll work. This time it's a real ban.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's
God.
fucking
It's a
great
real
though.
ban.
I gotta say, I remember Hodl Tarantula coming in when the space started. That's where we actually like spoke.
Oh, yeah.
And the first spaces then, the Australian ones. And you were like dropping in a little tipsy, mining nowhere. Sometimes a big bang was heard.
Oh yeah, I think I was the first person to discharge a firearm on Princey's podcast, and then there was a few others too. I was also the first person to firearm using the spaces as well.
Yeah,
Do you
I
feel
was
the
like,
need of
do it, do
discharging a
it again, do it
firearm right
again.
now?
I was like, do it again, do it again. It was like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, you won't be the first person to do it on the Meme Factory podcast.
Little desk pop,
I bet.
Little car pop on the
no!
pop.
I bet you won't be.
I feel like the local municipality probably wouldn't appreciate that much. Nor would that officer about a block and a half over that way.
What I wanted to say is, like, I remember you back then, and I was like thinking, what kind of like wattage pirate is this guy? Like,
what? How many languages do you speak, Hoddle? HT?
A few.
A few.
Three minimum. Not including English.
All right. Four. We gotta
hash.
Get
you speak hash right, sir? Well, maybe that's
fine. Oh.
We gotta get the RD question out of the way here.
No.
I don't know if I think I want Yellow to do it today. Yellow,
yes.
Can you knock it out?
Okay,
RD.
Let me get my notes here. My notes. Or let me have a sound. That's the notes.
He's shy. He don't
so,
want to
have. Mr. Honduran. Oh, that's not British. Wait. Indeed. The queen is dead. No, I can't do the voice. I cannot do the voice. If you had to, as we, what he says, I always remember that. I don't remember the request, to be honest.
If the Meme Factory did exist. Because,
like, if the Meme Factory existed, as we all know that it doesn't, which one of us would you retweet? Which one of us would you like and mute? And also zap.
Okay. Which one would I like? Which one would I mute? Which one would I zap?
And retweet.
And retweet. Yep. Okay. So I zap Becca for the Sammies.
Yeah.
Because you don't bite the hand that feeds. And then I get... I might mute Greg for all the fucking potato talk. No, I'm kidding. I like Yellow. I like Yellow because he's, you know, he's yellow. He's funny.
You got to retweet left.
Woohoo!
And then I'll retweet Pedro because he be spitting fire like I do.
Nice.
All
right. So, Mr. Left Out, it's up to you now.
Mr. Left Out.
Oh, Sean, my bad, homie.
Dude, man. The only one that's met HT in real life.
Well, we're special like that. You my special.
No, Greg has.
We actually have met, so.
Yeah, we were at the same place, silly.
We met Greg, too.
Yeah, but I've met HT more times. I've met him more times.
I was on the roof at the bar, and I was got pissed off standing in line. I was like, Greg, watch this. I went over to the front, and I was like, bro, here's a grand. I'm not standing that line. It's like, did you just buy the whole bar?
Yeah, wouldn't you? I am not waiting. Here's your tips for the whole night ahead of time.
Yeah. That's what we did. It worked out well.
HT, you're coming to the having party?
Dude, I'm having issues with my passport right now, so I don't know if I'm gonna make it down there.
Do you have a passport?
I have a passport that I'm waiting on a renewal on. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a letter in the mail about it, and I'm having an attorney to.
You try. Is what it sounds like.
If you need a visa, just let me know because
I don't know if what. Yeah, it's just I got a letter that said that they didn't that I wasn't. It wasn't a good letter. I have to reapply for my passport and stuff. Let's put it that way.
Well, it might be a good time to escape to El Salvador.
I'm the dude they write the policies for, if you guys didn't know that. So
figures. All right. Well, HD, I really appreciate you coming out tonight. I'm sure the rest of the crew here does too, even though they don't want to say it to you because they actually hate you. But everybody else, thanks for coming tonight and watching the show. It's been a blast.
You guys are fun.
And we appreciate you. Thank you. And let's hope Pedro pays.
The finger?
No,
the other finger.
No, that's finger.
We're on a shoestring budget here, so let's see if it's actually...